Here tonight, we want to look at this principle that I believe God is endeavoring to reveal to you, because here's the thing. People can teach. If the Spirit of God doesn't make it come alive to you, it's just more information. We don't need information. This has been called the information age. But we don't need information. We need transformation. And that can only come by revelation. That is, God opens His secrets to our minds. And all He had to say is, let there be light. And that took care of things. Amen? So, it's not how much of the Word, it's that you get the Word by revelation. And witchcraft spirits are not going to manifest here tonight. I've just taken authority over one of them in particular. We're not going to see anything but the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen, amen to you over there? Amen? So we're not going to have any manifestation but the manifestations of God. Yes, Lord. I have a friend in Indiana. It was a midweek service, and he was behaving himself, except he has a word of knowledge. All of a sudden, he ran off the stage, building built like this a little longer, and he walked up to three nice women, well-dressed in a row, and he said, "You guys are visiting witches. If you touch any of my people, I'll splatter you against the wall. If you're just here to hear the word, enjoy it." He walked back to the platform. They ran out of the building. Hallelujah. You know, the problem is with so many churches, they don't know what they're doing in the Spirit. And that's why there's sicknesses coming in and division coming in, because we're at war. Not with broken people. Not with needy people. Any needy person is welcome. But people that are plants of the enemy, they're not welcome. Do you hear what I'm saying? We've got to understand we're not at the same level we were at 8 years ago. We're at a new level. And how many want to win at this level and take our nation back? And have a strong nation, a godly nation, through that the next generation can use to reach the world for Jesus. And so, honestly, we're at war. But in the war we're in, we need real revelation by what's going on in the spirit world so we can circumvent and outmaneuver the powers of darkness. And part of what the early church lived by was prophetic revelation. And we want to see in Luke chapter 2, if you're here, go to your Bible, Luke chapter 2. And it says, "It came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the Roman world should be taxed." And on and on and on. And Joseph had to go up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. His wife was great with child. Verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there wasn't any room for him in the inn. Reading that just casually on my nice lazy boy chair with my watchdog lying on the floor, even if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, if I come under intercession, one of his eyes opens. Hallelujah. Everybody else in the house, close eyes. But at least I have a semi-partner. Hallelujah. But I'm lying there, and all of a sudden, off the page of the book, popped this revelation. I had to bring them to that place where prophecy was fulfilled in their life. Because you see, they had to get to Bethlehem of Judea. God had to allow all those natural circumstances to get them where prophecy alone could be fulfilled. Now, many of us, it's not a physical location, another city, but it's definitely a different spiritual location that God works to bring brokenness, yieldedness, submission to His Word, openness to His voice. God brings us there through various means, but it can be a geographical change, in that God sent me to California, the last place on the earth I wanted to live, because that's where prophecy was going to be fulfilled. And He spoke to me about some things nearly 20 years ago that haven't yet happened, but I know as well as I'm standing here tonight, they will, because I've been brought to my Bethlehem of Judea. And it was not a comfortable ride for them, a trip for them. Even when they got there, the accommodations were not first class, they were without class. Hallelujah. But nonetheless, the greatest prophetic fulfillment in all of Scripture, because in Jesus are all prophecies fulfilled, He's the Spirit of prophecy, happened in Bethlehem. So even though there was a pregnant woman and a difficult trip and a dangerous trip and a lack of honor showed when he got there, no room in the inn, nonetheless, prophecy that affected all of mankind forever happened that day in Bethlehem of Judea. May I say, God wants to bring all of us to that place in all our lives where prophecy is fulfilled. And as we began to speak last night in Genesis, we'll continue. Let's go back to Genesis chapter, 39, I believe it was. Joseph had been sold into slavery. Joseph had been ripped off by his brethren. Joseph had had two sets of prophetic dreams that eventually turned into pathetic nightmares. Everything God told him seemingly backfired, seemingly was annulled by circumstances, seemingly didn't make sense. And we've got to have understanding if we're going to pastor people, not before they get their prophecies, though they should, because a lot of people don't have a clue what true prophetic ministry is. Therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't have faith for the prophetic, you know, you bind me up. I had an interesting thing. I was in a church, where was it? Indianapolis, Indiana. And during my whole teaching, I didn't appreciate it, there was a warlock there trying to curse me. And the more he tried, the more the anointing increased. Hallelujah. And about halfway through the message, he had to look down because he couldn't look up. But afterwards, that demoniac stood in the line to be ministered to, and the pastor didn't have a clue. I mean, she really didn't have a clue. And I looked right at him because he was in a martial arts stance. I said, "Get out of that martial arts stance." "What?" I said, "You heard what I'm telling you to do." And he wouldn't move. I said, "Listen, you devil, you either do what I'm telling you or get out of this building." And he ran out of the building because that devil in him had legal rights because he didn't want to get free. You see, we've got to protect the prophetic because I'll tell you, supernatural ministry, Satan wants to pollute it. If you study Azusa Street, what finally put the nails in that coffin of that great revival, they had spiritualists coming in doing seances during the meeting. And if you look at Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer wasn't back in the temple in Jerusalem. He was right in the revival in Samaria. So we've got to guard something that's right. Amen? And inevitably, you get people that have not compassion, but sympathy. And sympathy is one of the things witches use to bring people into deception. See, we got to know something in the spirit world. Hallelujah. I was telling Pastor Stephen here today some things. His eyes got real big when we're eating. About when we were in Nepal. And I always used to mock Benny Hinn and some of the others for security until it blew up in my face. I was getting real spiritual, about ready to release the anointing for healing. And I felt something brush across my chin. And I opened my eyes. Here was a big guy, military guy, cocked back to punch me again in the face. He couldn't connect that time. And my one of my travel partners, he used to be a very tough guy. He was about 6'2", charged him like a football star. And the next thing I knew, one of those guys, that guy's tooth went flying out of his mouth. It was quite a service. It's one of those type you don't write home about. Hallelujah. Leave out of your newsletter. And he hit the ground, this guy, and they pinned him down. And I was inspired, jumped off the platform, put my foot on him, and I said, "Devil, you're under my feet." Hallelujah. What a service. But the moral of that story is it's easy to think somebody doesn't need something until you do. So we're at war, but God's going to bring us through to great victory. But we've got to really understand there's some laws governing proper supernatural ministry. You know, I've seen people pray for people and they act like they're trying to either knock them down or flip them to the floor because people won't respond. But I've prayed for people with no manifestations and their lives change forever. Then I've prayed for people, they fall on the floor, they shake, they quake, and they never change. So it's really what goes on in the heart. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And I want God to speak in a way and us to cooperate with it that He can bring us to our prophetic destinies. And when you pastor the prophetic, all you have to do is go to the life of Joseph. Everything he thought God was going to do, God didn't do it because he didn't do it the way Joseph thought it would be done initially. It was going to be done, but on a much higher plane and in much more miraculous way than that 17-year-old man could even fathom. Are you glad his ways aren't our ways and his thoughts aren't our thoughts? For as high as the heavens is above the earth, so is his ways and his thoughts above our ways. But His word won't return void. Amen. And if you have a true word from God about your children, about your health, about your business, about your future, and it's truly a word from God, even though things might go in a different direction initially, God is orchestrating things to bring you where you got to be. Amen. Now, Joseph didn't know that. It says in chapter 39 of Genesis, he ended up in Egypt and he was sold into slavery. First, he went from his parents' house into the pit, P-I-T, prophet in training. Then he got to Potiphar's house, and he was a servant, but he was so blessed, so anointed of God, that anointed of God, that everything he touched, the household got blessed. So the captain of Pharaoh's guard said, "You take over, boy." And he just sat back and, you know, drank his Egyptian tea. I don't know if it was sweet tea or unsweet tea. Just drank his tea, hallelujah. And that household prospered. May I say this? Every person that's anointed of God should bring prosperity wherever they go. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And he didn't do it because he had expertise, because he had never been in this realm of service. He had it because God was with him. I said he had it because God was with him. Amen. He had it because he had the blessing of God on him that didn't keep in with him. It went through him. And see, biblical prosperity, it doesn't end with you. That's called greed, by the way, if it ends with you. Biblical prosperity, it starts with you and then it goes to others. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great and you'll be a blessing. May God make us prosperous in a biblical sense, because the vision sure needs sponsors and givers and senders and people that are going to be sent. So here was Egypt. Here was Egypt being blessed by Joseph, Potiphar's house being blessed, but something started going wrong. And you would think, why would this happen? Because Joseph was in Egypt, beginning to prosper, and I'm sure before long, Potiphar, it looks like he didn't have any kids, might have given him everything. He could have sold that and got back to Canaan, but it was going to happen that way. Notice this. And it came to pass, Genesis 39, verse 7, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Shack up with me." That's modern English, by the way. And he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master doesn't know what is in the house, but he's committed everything to my hand, and there's none greater in his house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me, but you, because you're his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" May I say, we will be tested from when we get a prophetic word till the fulfillment of that word. And often we don't determine what that test is going to be. It can be a physical test. It can be a loyalty test. It can be a faithfulness test. Faithfulness test. It can be a money test. Here was a moral test. And we got to get out of la-la land, because there's none of us that are immune to some of these attacks. That's why when I'm in third world countries where they have a moral issue everywhere, I always answer the door with one foot against it and one fist behind my back. Hallelujah. That's not to shake hands, by the way. But there's times I can miss it. For example, I was in Vietnam and the service was rotten in the hotel, and I'd made some complaints, and my young man traveling with me had gone out to get some stuff, and his wife had gone out to get it. They work under my son's ministry in Romania, and all of a sudden I heard, "Yes?" I opened the door, foot here, fist here. "What do you want? Here's a beautiful woman." I said, I don't understand. And she started making all these gyrations. I said, "Get out of here, you devil," and slammed the door in her face. And I thought, one other notch on my gun. Hallelujah. Well, the young man got back with things I'd asked him to purchase, and I said, "You can't believe it. This hooker knocked on my door. She's making all these moves," and I slammed the door in her face and rebuked her in the name of the Lord. I felt real sanctimonious, you know, like some of you deal with your relatives. But anyhow, I felt real sanctimonious. Then the young man went out. He came back in an hour. He had a smirk on his face. He said, "Do you know who that hooker was?" I said, "Don't have a clue." He said, "She was the hotel manager." So much for prophetic accuracy. Hallelujah. So I had to humble myself. I went down to the lobby, put my arm around her in front of the whole staff. I said, "You don't look like a hooker to me." Hallelujah. So how's that for American goodwill in the nations? But anyhow, you never know when stuff is going to be knocking on your door. You better have it locked. You better have your gun cocked. You better be ready in the spirit world, because may I say this, that wants to destroy your prophetic fulfillment, that's the enemy himself. And the bigger the word, I found, the bigger the attack. The bigger the promise, the bigger the test. And Israel had 10 miracles in Egypt, been 10 tests, and they failed them all. And they died in the wilderness after seeing all that glory and experiencing that without the fulfillment of what God had prophesied to them. It didn't happen in their generation, it would happen in the next. By the grace of God, how many want to come victorious in the tests? I mean, there's people, the parents that let their children drive them out of the promises of God. They compromise like Eli did. There's people that let their family do stuff. I tell you, family members are not going to rip me off and make me step out of integrity, morality, spirituality. Didn't Joshua say, "Ask for me and my house"? We need to be a generation that stops compromising. Because may I say this, there's a lot of things that can go on in Potiphar's house that can blow up your destiny. So what kept Joseph? No one was around. He had the fear of God. I said he had the fear of God. I've heard some prophets say, "Well, I don't care if I miss it." What's wrong with those people? They don't have the fear of God. I've seen people take up offerings in churches. Thank God this never happened to me. Maybe once. And then not give the money to the man they took it up for. I couldn't live with myself if I did that. I believe in the fear of God. I could go on and on and on. And the fear of God is not the terror of God. It's a reverential fear. You don't want to harm your relationship or harm one that gave everything and gives everything for you. The fear of God. Amen. This kept going on. And then one day, verse 12, Joseph was out doing his business and none of the guys were with him. There was a setup. And she caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled out. Got out of there. I was once in Vietnam with this guy. Let's just say he came from Arkansas, since that's where he comes from. Near Hope, where another one of your sons of the soil came from. Who felt all your pain. But anyhow, or did he cause all your pain? But anyhow, I'm there in Vietnam with this guy. He's a former football player, star player in his high school here in Arkansas. And he's walking down the street and all of a sudden a 70-year-old little tiny Vietnamese woman took a liking to him and started chasing after him. And he looked at me and I just remembered Forrest Gump. I said, "Run, Phil, run!" And that good old boy was running down that road, 6'3", like a football star. Little 70-year-old woman chasing him. Ah! I tell you, Joseph didn't hang around. When she got a hold of him, he got out. And may I say this? There's times we've just got to vacate where we are. There's times you don't negotiate, you don't barter, you don't pray, you run. Elijah knew that too when he had no strength left. He ran from Jezebel. Oh, hallelujah. I thought that was hilarious over there in Vietnam, seeing this huge Arkansas boy running from a little 4'11" woman till she made a U-turn and came after me. I tell you, sometimes things go from bad to worse. I jumped 3 feet up in the air and said, "In the name of Jesus," she veered off in the crowd like this. She's probably still running down those streets. Who knows? Potiphar's house. Joseph should have made it there. But let's look what happens. The woman cried out, to break it down in time, that she had been in a position she was almost raped. And in verse 20 it says, Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was in the prison. He listened to his wife's accusation and not Joseph's defense. Now you would think after all that Joseph went through with his brethren, things wouldn't go in the same direction, but they even went worse. And may I say, to see prophetic fulfillment, you've got to know how to handle slander and accusation. I said, you've got to. Sometimes you just ignore it. Other times you've got to go through it. But I've seen in our own life, rather than slander and accusation ruin us, it took us where God wanted to send us, because it caused false friends to vacate our lives. And it caused doors to be shut that God didn't want me to keep going through. Because if people aren't your friends after slander, I hate to say this, they weren't your friends before slander. And I don't like slander and accusation. Because it can hurt, but I'll tell you what will hurt worse, is staying in Potiphar's house when God has something so much beyond that for you. So here's the good news. In the world, slander and accusation can destroy you because the Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. And the very word devil in the Greek and also Spanish language means the slanderer. So slander is satanically inspired. And it can cause havoc in churches if we don't know how to stop it and render it powerless in the spirit, but individually. And I hear me, I didn't want this to ever happen. When I saw slander come against me, it took me from one nation to over 20 nations. I want to thank God what the enemy means for evil, God means for good. I want to thank God that slander will not sink you. You know, some people run around trying to defend themselves all the time. I found this out the hard way. The more you defend yourself, the more gasoline you put on the fire. The Lord once told me this. Imagine this. I'm driving to an apostle's home, but I didn't want to see him because his daughter who was in ministry was being the influence of much slander against us. And I was going to bypass his home, and all of a sudden my car started to break down. I made it just to his driveway outside his home, and my car wouldn't go anymore. And he said, Brother Norton, what are you doing here? I said, well, Brother Joe, I didn't mean to. You come in and spend the night. And then he ministered to me as a real father in the faith. The next day, he said, we'll get your car working. I went out, turned the key. It worked perfectly. And I got in the car. And you know what I'd heard? If you take, this is what God told me. If you take things into your hands, you take things out of my hands. You got to let God prove you innocent. You got to let God prove you right. Because when you take it in your hands, you take it out of God's hands. And Joseph, though he was put in that prison, you don't find any time in that prison he tried to justify these false charges. But notice this, verse 21. Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph. Oh, even though he's falsely accused, even though he was put in a jail, even though he shouldn't have been there by all human standards, notice this. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the Lord and the keeper of the prison committed into Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison. And notice this, verse 23. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that he and that all that he did, the Lord made it prosper. Now, I want to talk about the prison. Prison, before I knew Jesus, was my home away from home. And since I was a demoniac, one of the first things I'd do would look for the meanest, toughest guy, and always dirty fighting, beat the out of him. So they thought I was psycho. Hallelujah, I was. But in prison, definitely it's not a place you want to go. But it was the Lord 45 years ago that reached me in a prison, so I have heritage in prison. And our Lord went to prison. And Paul went to prison. The disciples went to prison. The apostles. But when Joseph went to prison, as it relates to us seeing our prophetic destiny fulfilled, there's a lesson in it. What is prison? Prison is when God lets you get in circumstances you can't get out of. Prison is where you're somewhere you don't want to be, but you got to get there to go to the next level of prophetic fulfillment. Prison is where you shouldn't be there, but you got there, and there's no guarantee you're ever going to get out of there. Because in those days, it wasn't 5 years, 6 years. It was indefinite, and most people that were put in never got out. It was circumstances that God allowed him to get into, but God would have to supernaturally get him out of. You know, I'm in this relationship. I'm in this job. I'm in this city. And I don't want to be here. And every time I get out, the doors are shut more. Because may I say this, when God shuts a door, no man's going to open it. I don't care what type of locksmith you are. I don't care what a Houdini you are. Hallelujah. I've seen people that are going through the same circumstances, they get out of one thing and another one identically comes. You know why? God has them in prison because I'll show you what goes on in prison. And this is the thing we need to understand. You don't go from an anointing and a calling into the fulfillment of that without some prison experience. Notice this. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their king. And Pharaoh was angry with him and he put him in the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And each of them dreamed a dream. Oh, hallelujah. Now let me tell you this. When Joseph was in prison, for time's sake I'll say this, they each had a dream, and it had 3 days in this dream. There were some signs in it, prophetic signs, and they were upset, and Joseph said unto them, they said to Joseph, we've dreamed a dream and there's no interpreter, and Joseph said unto them, verse 8, do not interpretations belong to God? And they told him the basics, and he interpreted. What was going on in prison? I said, what was going on in prison? His gifts, his gifting, his anointing was being perfected. I said his gifts, his anointing, his calling was being perfected. Let me repeat that. His gifts, his anointing, and his calling was being perfected. Elisha, what are you doing all these years? Pouring water on the hands of Elijah. We have no record that Elisha ever prophesied when he was with Elijah. How would you like to have tried to prophesy when you're that guy? But anyhow, all he did was serve. His gifts, his anointing, and his callings were being perfected. And I can follow that through the whole Word of God. Often our gifts, our callings, and anointings are being perfected in situations, circumstances, and dealings or occupations that have nothing to do with the ministry. Your prison experience. I want to get out of here. It's not right I'm in here. I want parole. I shouldn't be here. It's been too long with these kids. Too long with this job. Too long in this church. God says, tough. Hallelujah. You can moo all you want. God has good eardrums. Hallelujah. It's not going to work. You're in that prison because in that prison, God's just not going to make you a dreamer. He's going to make you an interpreter of dreams because you need that anointing that Joseph never had before. That anointing he never had would start working in that prison because God was going to get him out of that prison and he would need that special anointing to cause him to live and go and function in the next level of his life. Amen. You see, having prophetic fulfillment guarantees you're not going to be stuck in the same thing forever. I have a spiritual mother. She's now with the Lord. It's a very divine appointment that brought her in connection with my family. And much I'm doing today came because of an impartation she gave me. But she told me she was a Baptist girl and got filled with the Spirit. And her family thought she went crazy because she'd always go into intercession. And her husband left her. He wasn't willing to surrender to God. And she had a vision one day. He'd come back to God. He'd got right. He was coming home and dropped dead. And the dream and the vision she had literally happened. And out of those years of abuse and confinement with those Baptist people, God anointed her and appointed her and got her into impartation from a woman that was at Azusa Street. And then sent her to the nations, and she connected with me. I'm sure glad that Minnie Johnson Kemery had gone through her prison experience and got into that anointing that she picked up in New York City from Mary Crandall, one of the spiritual mothers at Azusa Street. I'm glad for that because I want to tell you, your prison experience is not for you, it's for others. I said, it's not for you, it's for others. And that's the thing about prophecy. And this is where some people get real selfish. Minister to my need, my hurt, my business, my cause. No, if it's ministering to you, it's not to stop with you. It's to start with you and go through to others. So here was the prison. And Joseph interpreted dreams. He'd never done that when he was in Potiphar's house. He never did that with his brethren. So here's the good news. When you're in a fix you can't fix, God's fixing you. How's that for Southern? Hallelujah. Amazing. I was up in Indiana and this girl from, where was she? Somewhere down south. Started prophesying in Southern. Hallelujah. Almost had to interpret for the people. But anyhow. God's going to fix y'all. And people looking, what on earth? But anyhow. Here was Joseph in prison. And that's why I'll tell you today, Your circumstances are not ruling your life. God is. Even when things are unpleasant and limited and you're in a situation you shouldn't be in by the natural, it was not right how you got there, and yet God is working overtime to perfect your gifts, your callings, and your anointings. Your prophecy is being fulfilled. I said, your prophecy is being fulfilled. Well, you prophesied I'd go to the nations, and now I have all these kids. Your prophecy is being fulfilled. And they're the most trying, crying kids. Your prophecy is being fulfilled. Well, I'm in this job and this heathen boss is blowing his cigar smoke in my face. Your calling, giftings, and prophecies being fulfilled. It's easy for me to recognize your prison. I was kind of blind to mine. Having to work 3 jobs and work nights and travel days. I was going on 3 hours sleep for weeks on end. And will this ever end? And I wasn't sure it would until God began to set things up. I'll be there in a minute. But Joseph told one of these guys, imagine this. He told the baker, you had that dream about 3 days, something's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get out of here and you're going to get hung. How's that for prophecy being positive? Positively true. And then to the butler, he says, listen, you're going to get out of here in 3 days and Pharaoh's going to restore you. He said, but don't forget me. I'm from the land of the Hebrews and I got in this place and I shouldn't be down here. I was tricked and lied and undone. In verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And I was meditating on this about 30 years ago. Thank God that long. About how God let Joseph stay in prison because he was going to take him deeper. And it was so revelatory, as long as it didn't apply to me. I was working those 3 jobs and I had, I thought, an escape hatch, an exit plan. There was a church that was going to hire me to travel out of the church and all these offers, and I was going to get out of these 3 jobs and on and on and on. And I had all my schemes, I mean vision in my mind to bring to pass what God had promised me. You know what happened? The phone rang when I'm meditating on the scripture. That's why the scripture means something to me. Now, not then. It really means something to me. The phone rang. Hi, Bill. This is Rick. He was the senior pastor of this large work. How you doing, Rick? Good, Bill. I want you to know the elders and I have been praying, and I've got to tell you this. We feel you're not to move here. It was all right when Joseph was forgotten, but I was forgotten. And it was about 2 more years of what I can say now is like hell on earth. Will I make it to the next week? Will I make it to the next night? Will I make it financially? Will I make it maritally? Will I do this? Will I do this? I didn't understand that in the midst of that fiery furnace, some flesh was being scorched off. I didn't realize in the midst of that fiery furnace, some motives were being purified. I would not have thought staying in those horrendous, trying, flesh crucifying circumstances, my gifts, anointing, and calling were being solidified. But I got good news to you. God is working behind the scenes and within the scenes in ways we know and ways we don't know to bring us to that place where prophecy will be fulfilled in our life. Because the Lord was with Joseph. And even though the circumstances weren't right, God was causing him to be right. And he was prospering in the midst of adversity. Anyone can prosper in the midst of abundance. But can you prosper in the midst of adversity? You know what the name Joseph means? Here's a good one. Addition. But if I look at much of his life, he should have been called subtraction. I mean, taken from his parents, taken from his brethren, sold into slavery, accused of rape, put in a jail. That doesn't seem like any addition I want in my life. But hear me, God's math doesn't equate often with the way we add things up. We often think we're going to go from Little Rock to here, but God might take you to Germany, might take you to Africa. Elaine, God might take you a lot of places you don't want to go to get where you're supposed to be. Because, hear me, God is taking us in the spirit and we want to go in the flesh. We think we're ready to take over, and we're hardly out of spiritual diapers. We don't know how to handle the footmen. What are we going to do when the chariots appear? We can barely get by in the shallow end. What are we going to do when the Jordan swells up? That's what Jeremiah said. We get offended over nothing. What are we going to do when we really have reasons to be offended? Like Joseph did. His brethren did him in. And he's falsely accused of rape. And he didn't do it. He was innocent. He was innocent with his brethren, though he was ignorant. But he was innocent. That's the hardest thing, not when you get caught for what you're doing, but when you get accused for what you're not doing. Oh, hallelujah. Often when I'm in prison ministry, almost all the time, I shouldn't be in here. I'm innocent. You ever heard that? I said, well, how about all the times you didn't get caught? That's generally not very well liked. Hallelujah. After 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed. Why, Joseph, are you in the prison? Why'd you go to Potiphar's house? Because Potiphar was the boss over the prison that kept Pharaoh's prisoners. Now, may I say this? All the things that happened to Joseph were not God. But all the things that happened to Joseph, God was going to engineer, overturn, overrule, and break through on his behalf until all things would work together for good. See, we can't teach, you know, that person has cancer. That's good. No, that's a lie from hell. That person had a bankruptcy. That's not good. That's from hell. That person had a divorce. No, that's not good. Most cases, some cases, you got rid of a lot of good things. Amen. That's not God. But the good news is, God can take a mess and turn it into a masterpiece. The good news is, when God has spoken to you prophetically, higher hands are going to direct your path because you're not going down, you're going to the other side. You're not going to be broke down, you're going to break through. You're not going to burn out, you're going to burn on. You're not going to suffer loss, you're not going to be subtraction. You're going to live your name Joseph, addition, and then multiplication. Amen. What a way to raise up a Savior to the royal seed. To the called family, the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What a way to train a man who wouldn't just be a prophet to a church, but a prophet to the nations, and a prophet to his people, and a prophet yet to us today. I tell you, God's training methods are sure beyond my training methods. Because I'm concerned about your reputation and my reputation, and I'm concerned for family harmony. And that's why, you know, oh, this person has a bad family, this and this person went through this, and this person had a divorce. That might be part of their training. Not that I encourage any of that. But I'm saying this, different strokes for different folks. Some people are so stubborn and unbroken, they have to go through stuff before they'll listen. It's not God's best, but even when it's not God's best, God can take the worst, put it through the cross, turn trash into treasures. Oh, hallelujah. One of the best marriage counselors I ever knew, a husband and wife, it was their third marriage. They finally got it together. And I don't encourage that form of training, by the way. See, we're looking at human standards and human qualifications and human timing. God's doing it from an eternal perspective. Amen. So here after 2 years, Pharaoh dreamed a couple dreams. It says verse 5, he dreamed a second time. And notice what happened. Then the chief butler, when no one could interpret this dream, said to Pharaoh, I remember my faults this day. You were upset with me and put me in the guardhouse. And we dreamed a dream. And there was a man that interpreted this, a young man, a Hebrew. And it came to pass, verse 14, that he interpreted to us, and so it was. Me you restored to my office, and him you hanged, meaning the baker. Notice this, verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself, changed his raiment. He came to Pharaoh. He could have been in that prison for as much as 10 years. Different scholars feel different things. But he's in there a long time. And hear me, you'd see when he was going to go from his parents to the pit, to Potiphar's house, to the prison, and now to the palace. By the time he got to the palace, he wasn't the same man that he was in his parents' home. or in Potiphar's house. I'll tell you, Psalm 105, it says, he sent a man before him, even Joseph, and he was laid in iron. But the Hebrew language of Psalm 105 says, his soul came into iron. I said, his soul came into iron. I know what it is to have a soul. When I was younger, it was like clay or like sand. I was easily broken under pressure and easily angered under circumstances. And I just didn't have the inner strength to come into what God had spoken. My goodness, I got a vision to the nations when I wasn't even 22 years old. An open vision like I can see you. And I heard a near audible voice to go into all the world. I got that, but I wasn't ready for it. I had to go into my pit and Potiphar's house and go through accusations and slander and years, not in a natural prison, but in a spiritual prison. And can you believe when I would be on the job or I would be going places or I would be ministering with even drug using people, God would give me words for them and they would shake in their boots because it was God. I didn't know that God, in the midst of that hell on earth, was preparing me. I thought it was so unjust to have a call like that and having to work three jobs. And then all these lying spirits come from Christians that when I finally got a ministry beginning to go somewhere, it blew up in my face. Joseph, it looks like everything blew up in your face, but I tell you what was happening. That was in the natural, but up here, the winds of change were blowing you on course, not off course. You weren't being blown out of the will of God. God's wind was blowing you into the perfect place that your dreams as a young person were going to unfold and come to pass. And I want to tell some of you, the winds of change are getting ready to blow you on course because you're being brought to that place where prophecy would be fulfilled in your life. I don't want to be under demonic Pentecostal religion. I want to be under apostolic anointing, the way God changed the nations and the only way He's going to change the nations. I want a foundation that's deep and a foundation that's strong. I don't want partial fulfillment of what God has spoken to me. I want total fulfillment. I don't want to be outside of Bethlehem of Judea. I want to be right in the midst, right where in the manger where the Son of God comes to destroy the works of the devil. Here came this prisoner. It changed his garments. He was always changing his garments from a kid, world leader, to being stripped, going into Egypt, slave garment, prisoner garment, and now he came in clothed as a man who is going to be in prophetic government. And notice this. When Pharaoh started telling my dream to dream and no one's can interpret it, verse 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh, Genesis 41 said, "It's not in me, God shall give Pharaoh an answer." Here was a guy so reduced to not his wisdom, but God himself. He was a man that realized within himself he didn't have success, revelation, order for anyone. But he's so joined with God that God would enable him to speak as his voice. Pharaoh opened thing up, and then Joseph began to interpret it. Verse 27, he said, "There's going to be 7 years of, there's going to be verse 26, 7 good years, and then verse 27, 7 bad years of famine." And then he told Pharaoh, "Look out for a man discreet and wise who you can set over the land to keep, to bring in the crops and to set things in order for this." And gave him through the word of knowledge and word of wisdom direction. And look in verse 38. This is one of my favorite verses in Joseph's life. Verse 38. "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is.'" And that was not a believer. That was a heathen king. Recognized the Spirit of God was in Joseph. The coat of many colors was on this man. And he was not going to hide out with religious people. He was going to rule Egypt. He was going to save humanity. He was going to save the royal family through which Christ would come, the 12 tribes of Israel. He was going to set things up that still bless us today. Because, see, Joseph, he didn't stay in Papa's home. He didn't stay in some prison. He didn't stay in Potiphar's house. He wasn't ordained to last in those circumstances. And there are circumstances some of you are in, you're not ordained to stay in them. Amen. And don't think because you live in small communities, you got to be small-minded or a small vision, because God so loved the world. Amen. And Abraham, through you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I know people in New York City that have a small town mentality. And I know some people in villages that have a global vision like God does. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. This is what a heathen king said. Why do you think that kings came to Daniel? Because he also was a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And may I say, from biblical truth, from Genesis on, God intends for the leadership of the nations to finally be in the hands of His people. Amen. In America, it's beginning to happen. Hallelujah. Put on your seatbelts because there's turbulence ahead. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Joseph, where'd you get your training? A big leader in Singapore said, what school did you go to? I said, you really want to know? He said, yes. I said, the school of hard knocks. He said, I've never heard about that. I said, it's the school Joseph went to, Moses went to, Daniel went to, Paul went to. He looked at me, Hall, very interesting, Chinese guy. Of course, he never had me back, so he's probably not too interesting. But anyhow, you see, we're looking for human preparation. And yes, if God leads you into that, by all means, get it. But God has a school that He puts people into that really have prophetic significance in their life to bring forth. People that have been rejected, people that have been maligned, people that have been slandered, people that have had family breakdown, people that have gone into all type of bondage, people that have even spent time locked away because they broke man's laws, or maybe they didn't, falsely accused, have gone through all type of slander. We need to be careful that we don't disqualify people that God's qualifying. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of God let us know we're not ordained to Papa's house. We're not ordained to Pharaoh's. We're not ordained to Potiphar's house. We're not ordained to slavery. We're not ordained to stay on some camel. We're not ordained to stay in some prison. We're ordained to rule and reign in Christ Jesus. And He's bringing us to that place. Why did you end up in Egypt? I haven't come here for myself. I tell you, He would find that out. He didn't come there for Himself. He came there for others. And when his brethren, he gets married, and you know what he calls his first son? Manasseh. This is powerful. Didn't Paul say, I forget the things that are behind? Manasseh means forgetting. Amen. What's your son? Forgetting. Forgetting what? Well, that's a big story I don't want to get into. Hallelujah. Forgetting. If you're going to go into prophetic fulfillment, there's some things you just need to forget. You know, I've had people bring up things that happened 20 years ago against me. I literally don't remember them. And let that stay that way, Lord. Hallelujah. Manasseh. And then the next son he called Ephraim. Fruitful. If you want to be fruitful, you got to forget certain... How many hear that? You got to forget certain things. You got to forgive certain things. There are people's groups... That's why I'm beginning to work in the Middle East, in Iran, Iraq, and Central Asia and Afghanistan. And you know, in that part of the world, it still bewilders me. My great-great-grandfather was killed by one of your family members, and we've waited 100 years to get even, and now we're going to. And then they pass on the hate from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And can you see why there's such hell and havoc and war and genocide that goes on? Because we've got to break the cycle. We've got to be bringing forth Manasseh. We forget. We forgive. We put it under the blood. And I'm talking to every American here. There's things we've sinned as a nation. We've got to get it under the blood and go on. Otherwise, the cycle intensifies. Manasseh. Now, I'm not going to remember when I was how old? A 16-year-old kid? And I was the type of kid, youth camp guys used to say, if I had a kid like you, I'd go on a vacation and change addresses. But when I was 16, I got put by my parents and the Belgian government in a mental hospital. And I don't remember that, the pain of it. The craziness of it. There's things we got to get over, or they will sink who God wants us to be and sink us in the midst of the dealings of God in our life and cause us not to go to the other side. Amen. Because out of the worst pain, through Christ, it can become the greatest gain. Hallelujah. Amen. Your prison years aren't lost. Your rejection is not lost, but it has to go to birth something new called Manasseh. There has to be forgiveness. There has to be forgetting. Paul said, I forget the things that are behind. If you're going to come into Ephraim, fruitfulness, the next son. Well, they came that what he prophesied happened, famine. Oh, hallelujah. And his brothers came down to Egypt. As Jacob said, and said, there's corn in Egypt. And they went down there, and they came in, and it says in chapter 42, verse 8, his brothers didn't know it. And notice verse 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams. Some of you have forgotten what God has told you. Circumstances have blurred it out of your mind. But I got good news for you. God hadn't forgotten the dreams, the word, the promises, what He has in store for you. There will be a remembrance of your dreams starting this year. There's going to be a breaking out of nightmares into God-ordained dreams. You see, the next thing, we don't have time for this because we could spend a whole service on this. Joseph was a prophetic leader. Because when his brethren showed up and he could have really got even for all that injustice, he proved them, he examined them, he exposed them, and he brought them to a place of brokenness. So powerful. I said so powerful. So powerful. Hallelujah. If you look in chapter 43, after he made them think they had stolen merchandise, it was incredible how he set them up in their bags. It's powerful that he finally told them, imagine this. Looked like he was going to keep one of their brother and his father. When they'd had a couple trips there, said, whatever you do, don't let Benjamin be kept behind because Joseph's dead. Then he caught them, and then he finally told them, I'm Joseph. Can you imagine what those swindling, devilish, wicked brethren must have thought? I'm Joseph. They were terrified. And this is the thing I notice. You give God enough time, He knows how to give our enemies enough rope to hang themselves. And you'll cut the rope while they are. Hallelujah. It's called forgiveness. Chapter 45. Joseph said to his brethren, I'm Joseph! Does my father yet live? And his brethren couldn't answer him, for they were terrified at his presence. My God, and notice this. He said this, verse 5. Now therefore don't be grieved, nor angry with yourself that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve life and a posterity in the earth to save your lives by a great deliverance. So it was not you that sent me here, but God. And He's made me a father to Pharaoh. Who would have thought it? I said, who would have thought it? That the forgotten son, that the son the father thought was dead, was very much alive, and we'd be used as a savior for that whole family through which Christ would come and Israel would come before Christ, and which we, the Israel of God, are blessed by today. I tell you, to be a spiritual father, to be a prophetic form of government on the earth, there's a price tag. Amen. And I like to go first class, but he went horrible class. And painful class. And they went and they got the father, Jacob, came to Egypt. Imagine this. Here was Jacob, a man, biggest con artist imaginable at one time before God broke him. He went and prophesied over Pharaoh. And Joseph said, I'm a father to Pharaoh. Not a father to church. He was a father over world leaders. And towards the end of his, when Jacob died, and before he died, he prophesied, that's another message, to all 12 of his sons. He gave Joseph the double blessing, a prophecy I like. All his branches, he said, Joseph, the archer shot at you, but they missed, and your branches are going over the wall. Gave him double blessing. But when Jacob died, his brothers thought, oh no, now's the time for payback. We'll end with this tonight. Chapter 50, verse 18. Or verse 16. Or verse 15. And Joseph's brother, when they saw their father was dead, they said to Joseph, he will hate us. Certainly he will cry of us all the evil that we did to him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, said, your father did command us before he died that you shall forgive us, on and on and on, for all the evil and trespasses. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Verse 18. And his brethren went and fell down before his face. And they said, we're your servants. His dreams came to pass. And I don't care what impossibilities stand in your way tonight or in the way of this church, what contradictory circumstances, what confinement you're in, what injustices you have or are experiencing, the God of the life of Joseph is the God who is working overtime in the midst of adversity to bring you to that place spiritually, perhaps naturally, where prophecy will be fulfilled not just in you, but through you. And you know what Joseph said? I like this. He said, fear not, am I in the place of God? You thought evil against me, but God meant it to good to bring to pass as it is this day to save a lot of people alive. Here's the good news. I've noticed if I get my heart right, and that's a process, and let God do the work in me that He wants to do, eventually He turns evil into good. It was near death experience when I had 100 churches shut their doors, but I found out years later all the sin that was in those groups that I hadn't yet seen was well covered. I'm sure glad God took me out of that. I'm sure glad what was meant as evil turned around for good. I'm sure glad I'm not in that religious spirit that those people are now. I'm sure glad I'm not 66 and have no one I'm passing my mantle on to. I'm sure glad I have a mantle that's worth passing on. I'm sure glad the coat of many colors was not a dream or an illusion that never came to pass. It was spiritual reality, though it was taken from my life for many years. It came back by the grace of God, stronger and wider and deeper and higher than ever before. Amen. And I'm not in the place of God to expose these people because they haven't yet been caught. I hope they aren't. Amen. But notice the last thing Joseph did. It says, verse 23, Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, on and on. And verse 24, Joseph said to his brethren, I'm going to die. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you'll bring up my bones from here. When you read the book of Exodus, it's very powerful. It says, when they left Egypt, in accordance to this prophecy, they carried the bones of Joseph with them. See, what was accomplished in Joseph was carried into the next move of God. And when you look at Jesus in John chapter 4, he was near Joseph's tomb there at the woman at Samaria. And could have the Lord said, there's still a garment called immortality you're yet to put on. The coat of many colors had been passed to the next generation. But eternity awaits. Those who die, not just having received prophecy, not just those that work through which prophecies work through, but those who prophesy into the generations to come. The Lord's going to visit you. The Lord's going to visit you. And there arose another king that knew not Joseph, but God raised up a deliverer. And the great acts of salvation were demonstrated out of Egypt. And God delivered His people out. Why? Because Joseph had said, God's going to bring you into the land. May God raise up prophetic leadership in North America now. May God raise up prophetic people in North America right now. May God give people understanding in the body of Christ that He's bringing them to the place, their Bethlehem of Judea, where prophecy is fulfilled for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. 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 Could we stand in His presence? The reason some people don't have prophetic fulfillment, they're involved in too many jailbreaks. They're always looking to get out of what God's got them in for training, for reigning. They're always looking for an escape or they have an exit plan. It's amazing. Sometimes I do marriage counseling. People almost need deliverance after that. But anyhow, I do marriage counseling. But when people are getting married, this is my wise counsel. Do you have an exit plan? What do you mean? Are you planning, if this doesn't meet your comfort zone or what you like, or surprises begin to come? How do you know surprises begin to come? This great prophet was in a meeting and they were saying, this man's a prophet, this man's an apostle. And so he's driving home, he asked his wife, he's told his wife of many years, what do you think about that, apostle, prophet? She said, yeah, but they don't live with you. Hallelujah. But I always ask people, do you have an exit plan? Because if you do, I'm not going to marry you. There is no exit plan if you want to go somewhere in God. I will abide in the will of God. I will stay put until God gets me out of what I'm in. Amen. And someone stands in the way of your destiny and God says it's time for you to be promoted, God will either change them or remove them. Amen. Pharaoh, you either change or I'll remove you. That's what Moses was able to say. Why? There was a prophecy before Moses showed up given by Joseph, and God was watching over that prophetic word that wouldn't just affect an individual, but a nation. And there's been prophecies spoken over the United States that are beginning to come to pass. God's going to restore the American Republic. God's going to restore America back to Him. Are you glad you're in a country that God's watching over to bring prophecy to pass? And I say that as we close tonight, we need wisdom in the Spirit, because I've often missed it in my life, what I was going through. I didn't realize God was bringing me to the place that prophecy would be fulfilled. And at times it was horrible, at other times it was humorous. The people I used to, before I was saved, hate the worst were English people. Because I went to an English school in Switzerland. I was always in a mess. So who would God use to give me major prophetic direction, one of the most important prophecies in my life? An English prophet. God has a sense of humor. And we met, we had a major argument, but that didn't shut down what God wanted to do. And part of what I am today, He put in my life. Are we ready to be brought to the place where prophecy is being fulfilled in our life? You say, well, I don't have a spoken word over me. Yes, you do. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you're the body of Christ and members in particular. The Bible's not an academic book. A religious book, it's a prophetic book. And it's being fulfilled in you. You're being brought to the place where the prophecies God has for His church are going to be fulfilled. Amen. You might be in Egypt, you might be in prison, you might be in family conflict, you might be in injustice. The doors are shut and there's no way you can get out. But God has the keys of hell and death. And He's going to get you out and He's going to get you in the palace. In a moment's notice, He went from a prisoner to a prime minister. From a prisoner to a prophet. Because promotion comes not from the east, the west, north, the south. Promotion comes from the Lord. Psalm 75. Do you want to be promoted? Submit to the Lord God. Submit to God. And know that your circumstances are not eternal. God is. And His prophetic promises to you are. Thank you, Jesus, for prophetic breakthroughs in this church and in our nation and in this ministry. This year, we're like Joseph. You have us in preparation for things we don't understand, for things we're not yet ready for, but You're working overtime to confirm Your word in us. You're going to not be one who has subtractions. You're not going to lose another marriage. You're not going to lose another kid. You're not going to lose your health. You're not going to lose your wealth. And that was all passing. Your name is Joseph Addition. And when God adds to you, no one can take it away from you. Because the thief has to pay back seven times. You're on a prophetic journey to go to your Bethlehem of Judea. Not in location, but in the Spirit. The greatest then known empire was governed by God's prophet, like Persia And Babylon was governed by Daniel. And those were prophetic types what God intends to do in this age. Because the church is not less than the old covenant. It's exceedingly beyond the old covenant. Are you glad for a victorious future and victorious preparation and victorious hope? Because God's bringing you to that place where prophecy is going to be fulfilled in your life. Maybe you had an affair. Maybe you had moral failure. Maybe you come through abuse. Maybe you were abusive. I want you to know that God is able to, through the cross, turn that mess around and cause it to serve you and not slander you. And every lying spirit and slanderous spirit against your family, against your name, against your marriage, against your race, against your job is going to fall in Jesus' name. Because if God be for you, who then can be against you? Such promises and such precepts in the Word of God so we can understand God is working in all our lives infinitely and accurately and intimately to bring us to that place where prophecy will be fulfilled in our life. So when you get promises or get prophetic words and everything goes contrary, remember Joseph, remember Joseph, remember Joseph. Remember your dreams. Remember your dreams. And be faithful where you're at. Let God prosper you in the process. Don't look for the future to be prosperity, because prosperity is now in the will of God. Now in the work of God. The best worker, the best husband, the best wife, the best minister, the best children's worker, the best janitor. Be best at what you're out now, and there's a better future for you tomorrow. Joseph's whole life was prosperous. It's just God had higher training. Because he was called not just to be a cook, he was called to be special forces. God had to let him go through hell so that he could carry the heavenly mantle and it would never go to his head. He said, am I in the place of God? He could have killed them all, but he would have been destroying the 12 tribes of Israel through which Christ came. He was strong enough and wise enough to not take it personal, because there was something bigger than Joseph. It was the plan of God being formed. Israel was being formed. And these were prophetic stages that had to happen to position them for the Red Sea and the Passover lamb and the glory cloud and the judgment of God on Egypt. There was prophetic things going on in their nation's future, in their family future. And are you glad that Joseph didn't mess it up? Yeah. May the Spirit of God keep us from messing things up in our churches, in our lives, in our families, in our nation. People were as blind as the day is long not to see the hand of God on this last election. Prophets had prophesied in 2007, 2011 that God was going to raise up Donald Trump. Say, well, he was, it's his third marriage and he's this and that. As if that's going to stop the anointing of God coming on people's lives. We got to understand America is not a normal nation. It's a prophetic nation. And it has a prophetic destiny. And yes, it has sinned. And yes, it has messed up. And yes, it hadn't been faithful. But hear me. The Lord was with Joseph and the Lord is with this land because of the body of Christ. And God's going to put the coat of many colors back on this land. And I'm not going to listen to these false prophets and these demonic Jezebels that are marching. I'm not going to listen to the abortion crowd or the racist of all races. I'm going to listen to the Word of God because I want revival in the land. God's going to be exposing the wicked in these next 4 years. You watch it. Because nothing's going to be hid but what will be revealed. May the Holy Spirit make us people like Joseph who cooperate with the plan. And when we want to get out of the dealings of God before our time, 2 more years in the clink. Not solitary confinement. No golf courses on the weekends. No special visits. But God loves us too much to let us go a soft and easy way that would enable us to be destroyed when the breakthrough comes. I didn't realize when I walked through years of poverty and I grew up in a wealthy family that it was so money would have no power on me. And I can say by the grace of God, millions of dollars have gone through our ministry. You don't see me dressing like it. You don't see me living like it because the prosperity is not for me. It's for the orphans. It's for the underground church, the suffering people of the nations. It's for the body of Christ in this nation. What you're going through is not for today. It's for your tomorrow. And a person that's prepared, like Jesus lived this pattern too. God brought him to the place that prophecy would be fulfilled in his life. And in 3 years, 3.5 years, he'd do more than the church has in 2,000 years. May God give us an understanding. He's bringing us to the place that prophecy is going to be fulfilled in our life. All things that are going on, if we've said yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, they may not happen in this order, but I guarantee you what we've been talking about for the last two services is going to happen in His order. And you know what I've learned? When I hear all these bad things spoken about a ministry or a church, I've learned, go there. That's where God is. Hallelujah. Because the devil doesn't have to slander something that's dead and dysfunctional. He aims his guns at the thing that's alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We can be secure in the preparation. Because there's prophetic fulfillment that you're working in us. And neither divorce, nor being abused, nor previously being abusive, nor being treated unjustly, nor having our family turn on us, nor being sold out by people who should have loved us and stood with us, nor lying false accusations concerning our morality or ethics or anointing. None of that is going to stop us. It's going to serve us. And the day will come, as you've been preparing us now for greater giftings and anointing in our prison experiences, you're going to have a people that you can trust to go into the palace and properly interpret things that affect world history. And then we'll rule in righteousness and in mercy, not in pride and in judgment. In the name of Jesus, may we live in the prophetic plan and may we prophesy to the generations to come that which will bless them. May we get out of the way and get into God's ways. May we not be a museum, but may we be a movement. Father, we thank you here tonight that we're being brought to that place where prophecy is going to be fulfilled in our life. We may not see it. We may not like it. We may be fed up. We may be hitting our head against the wall. We may be asking men to get us out of something you've got us in for a longer season. But Father, we're going to trust you because we've had the dream. We've had the dream. We've had the dreams of a coat of many colors, of our enemies bowing down before us, of you using us supernaturally, Father. We thank you that you're raising up people that will bless their families and bless their descendants and bless this nation and bless the nation. Who will be the head and not the tail? Who will be the answers and not the problems? God of Joseph, God of additions, release Manasseh here tonight, forgetting the things that are behind you. Forgetting the past marriage, forgetting the child abuse, forgetting the addiction, forgetting the lost years, forgetting the accusations and slander. And may Ephraim come, fruitfulness in everything you put your hands to, like Joseph, prosper in your process, prosper in your development, prosper in your today, and thus prosper in your tomorrow. And may the fear of God be on us that we never put ourselves in the place of God. For what people have meant to do us evil against us, God intends to bring it to pass for good. You want to raise up saviors and not judges. Consolers and not critics. Mercy and not judgment. For the Lord will visit us. The Lord will visit us. And while you're at it, don't leave my bones anywhere but in the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Give us a godly vision of the future like Joseph had. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. We call forth destiny. We call forth revelation. We call forth breakthrough. I call forth encouragement. Dreams live. Hope return. Vision be ignited. Giftings develop. Let the Annas and Simeons come forth in this house. Let the young Josephs and the young Josiahs and the young Timothys come forth in this house. Bring forth the Esthers and the Deborahs. Bring forth a people that are truly moving in the Spirit and no other spirit. In Jesus' name. For God sent a man before them, even Joseph, who taught Pharaoh's senators wisdom. Your ways aren't our ways, God. Forgive us for our ignorance and lack of understanding of what you're doing. But we trust you in the pain, in the intervals, in the process, where we're at today, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bring forth vision on these young people. Let the coat of many colors come upon these young people. God, let the call, the vision, the anointing you gave me when I was 21 years old, let it begin to pour into this generation. No spirit of witchcraft. No spirit of perversion. No spirit of antichrist. No spirit of rebellion. No spirit of the world. Let that be bound. But let the coat of many colors begin to fall upon them. You said, are your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Can we give God a victory shout tonight? Can we give God a victory shout tonight? Can we give God a victory shout tonight? Can we give Him a victory shout? Hallelujah!